Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
This is about something that lights your fire when nothing else will.
This is the Mark Divine Show. This show, we're going to discover and dive in and discuss what makes the world's most inspirational, compassionate, and resilient leaders so courageous.
Transform the nature and functioning of our own brain for the better.
Go put your virtues in action. Be the best version of yourself.
Life is a practice. Day by day, get wiser and stronger and grow.
How do you understand enough about your own mind and psychology and emotions, and how do you develop a reflective awareness practice to actually get in the driver's seat of your own mind?
We go in-depth with people from all walks of life. Martial arts grandmasters, meditative monks, CEOs, military leaders, stoic philosophers, proud survivors, and more. Every episode turns our guest experience into actionable insights that you can learn from to lead a life filled with compassion and courage.
I started putting all these little tools in my pocket, started to reflect a lot and meditate.
There has to be a balance between movement and rest.
It all starts with us. We cultivate these qualities in ourselves to become a beacon of light for others in the world. Please join us on the journey. The Mark Divine Show. Hoo-yah.
Today's episode brought to you by J.B. Weld, available, by the way, at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more, and proudly made in the USA. All right, what are we talking about, man?
We're going to talk a little bit about the Rennsport reunion coming back next year, Monterey. You got to get yourself registered. Ken Block's going to do Pike's Peak.
Yeah.
And a nice chat you had with Gerritsen.
Bob Gerritsen.
Tell you about who he is.
All right. First, there's Geico.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course. Who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church is going to mandate. Get it on. And welcome to CarCast. Matt Kroll. It's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea. Over there with some hot car talk news. Lots going on.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
First, a few things of personal interest to you, and then a more philosophical discussion on cars. I think I just saw that a Mustang Cobra 95 or something sold for like 94 grand on Bring a Trailer.
Yeah, and probably It was the 93 Cobra.
I was confused because it was teal. It's kind of a good teal.
It's not the greenish.
Teal and the Cobra's fine. Teal and the F-150 is what the fuck? And why'd you buy a truck if you want it teal? Yeah, and I was confused because it sold for 94, and then I was like, was it a 94? And then I was like, no, 94 is what it sold for.
Yeah.
But maybe it was a 93.
It was 93, yeah. Oh, so 93. The 93s are the ones that have been moving a lot. And it was a very low mile car. I think there was another one with like, I don't know, like 9,000 miles.
It is the good teal. It's the blue.
Yeah, it's the blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so 9,000 miles, right. Okay. And then.
Wait, this is the 9,000 mile one that went for 60. Actually, it was a no sale at 60. And then there's one with like 35 miles, Chris. That's the expensive one.
It was the sale at like 94.
Yeah.
I remember it's weird. I was looking. I was like, oh, that's blue. That looks pretty nice. But same color, I guess.
Yeah.
And this one went for 94. So, you know, here we go. A mid-90s Mustang at knocking on the door of 100 grand.
You know, a couple of years ago, I know the guy that...
That was a 35-mile, not a 35,000-mile?
Right, 35-mile.
Oh, okay, that's the thing.
A couple of years ago, people were losing their mind at Barrett-Jackson. A guy I know bought the 93 Cobra R model for like $120,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are like, oh, that's so expensive. They'll never get there. And within no time, it's past that. Now, the one he bought was another one with like 10 miles on it, still wrapped in plastic, mm-hmm. like a true time capsule car. But the 93 R model, so the Cobra, they made 4,993. They made 107 of the R models.
And speaking of Fords, we were talking the other day just about, I think the RM Monaco, I think it was RM Monaco yeah. auction. And, you know, I've been saying for pretty long time, I will say I was early money on this. Before Bring a Trailer had their premiere sales thing with their, you know, probably meant for cars that were $100,000, $150,000 plus. Mm-hmm. I was like, why can't you sell a Gullwing on Bring a Trailer? And everyone right. was like, well, because they don't sell Gullwings on Bring. You know, almost every answer is because they didn't do that before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
until you could say, like, well,
what's right? wrong with dipping fries into ranch dressing? Because we use ketchup. That's why.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. But doesn't mean people aren't going to be into it.
That's
you
right.
know?
Until that first fry goes in.
The answer for, you know, Bring a Trailer, just anything professionally, anything within radio and my whole career is just always because that's not what we do mm-hmm. or what they do, you know. And I always said, I don't get it. You know, if you can sell a Bronco or you can sell Mustang or you can sell a, you know, a mid-70s Corvette on Bring a Trailer, why can't you sell a Gullwing
right.
on Bring a Trailer? Yeah. Eyeballs are eyeballs. Those buyers are sophisticated. I was going to say Matt the Motorator was a little dubious at the beginning. Like, well,
at the time,
I don't know if that's the best place. And I was like, well, look, you're getting hundreds of thousands of looks. You're getting hundreds of thousands of looks. People know what a Gullwing is. By the way, when you buy one at auction, you don't get to drive it.
Right.
You just look at it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at it in person, but you just kind of stand next to it and look at it. They got, you know, 150 digital photos.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a pretty good idea what that engine bay looks like, you know. But anyway, then they offered their Premiere. I'm calling it Premiere, but
yeah,
I can't remember what
like
it
that.
Is. But and then Gullwings and everything started selling, you know, at the price that they sold for everywhere else. Because
yeah.
if you have an audience and that audience is looking for a Gullwing, that's a fairly small group of people that have, you know, $1.3 million to spend on a car. And those people are savvy. They can go on the internet. And they go on the internet to see the previews of what's going on at Amelia Island mm-hmm. in 4 months or Pebble Beach in 9 weeks or whatever it is. They're scouting that stuff out. Then go to Bring a Trailer and go look at a Gullwing and do it that way. And I think you have to label that a pretty unmitigated success because now they're selling, you know, McLaren Sennas and
yeah.
you know
four GTs are weekly now.
Ferrari, yeah, 05, 06, and 99, 2000, yeah. you know, old and new. And you're seeing Ferrari F40s and stuff on there. Just you're seeing very expensive
yeah.
cars on there. And so we were talking, Matt and I, about the Ford GT, I think 2020, that was the carbon fiber edition. And I think it was a no sale at Monaco at RM for like $965,000 or something.
Yeah.
It's like a no sale. And then I said to you, bring a trailer, man. And
Chris can find this because I think almost simultaneously one
yes.
moved a carbon. Like a Ford GT carbon.
Well, I didn't even see the one that moved. What I did is I hopped on a day later, and there's a Ford GT carbon, and it was at $1 million with 7 days left. So there you go. And look, the guy who's buying that car, it's a 500. Oh, it's gone up $1,500. 8 days left. It's even
eight days
more
left,
than I thought.
It's a million bucks. Yeah.
$1,500. All right. $1,500 and it's 500. Okay. So my point is this.
Yeah.
I've always said who's ever buying that car is factoring in the 10%. When you get to $1 million, you're at 100 grand.
Yeah.
People know what those cars sell for. They go for $1 million. They go for 1.1. No one is going to, it's not going to hammer at 1.1, 1.2, and the guy's happily going to write a check for 110 grand more than those things are trading for. And the guy who's selling the car doesn't want, you know, oh, it's sold for $1 million. Here's your, we're going to back out 50 grand. And then here's your, you can put it on Bring a Trailer. We know what it'll sell for.
Yeah.
I don't get the auction anymore.
And you're
for
right.
For that car.
The seller especially going, someone's going to pay $1.1 million. So I'm either going to pay the auction house $100,000 and take home $1 million, or I'm going to bring home $1.1 million. So why would I just get the extra $100,000?
And also,
because it's the same price.
If you're selling the car and you get to $1 million, then the bidding stops because that's 1.1 with the premium.
Yeah.
So, but you're the seller. You're just all you know is you got $1 million for a car that's 1.1.
You're right. It's a tough argument. So what's,
I think the auctions are good for the, you know, there's still a place for the auctions. That's the, you know, Porsche 917 with Le Mans history and, you know, estimate, inquire kind of price. And
yeah.
Nobody knows what that thing is. But a Gullwing, a Ford GT, either old or new, meaning, you know, 05, 06, 99, 19, you know, 2019, 2020, those prices are pretty much locked in. People know what those prices are. So why are we dealing with the 10% this way and the 5% that way? Those are easy.
Yeah. So it starts to separate the buying habits, I think, right? When you go to a Mecum and a Barrett Jackson, there's oftentimes, there's a passion buy. You're there. The room is hot. It's exciting. People are buying cars. You've been there for a few days. You could end up picking something up.
I think it's great for like a resto mod.
Absolutely.
Because nobody knows what that 63 Corvette split window that you heavily modified, nobody knows if that's a $125 or $425.
Right. And that's an environment, those live auctions, where you do like to see the car, crawl under the car, talk to the builder of the car if you get a chance. A lot of times you do. And kind of get into it a little bit more. So sometimes there's a deal as well.
Right.
Right? Now, Bring a Trailer, it's all things are equal. It's there for a certain amount of days. Everyone has an opportunity to look at that car, ponder, and bid. But sometimes things happen quickly at an auction on a Thursday morning at 11 a.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, you know, 3 minutes to make a move on this car. Granted, you found it, you saw it, and the room is either hot or not. And then there's the high-end versions of those cars, like you're talking about a Porsche 917 and stuff. Now, what's been interesting is that we've been talking to, during the pandemic, which changed things, right? No real big live events. A lot of the big auction houses were doing online versions of the sales. And one of the things they learned, and this is probably a little bit of that Bring a Trailer audience, is they were saying, yeah, we've got a lot of old school customers, and now they're buying expensive cars sight unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a Bring a Trailer time where we go, oh, no one will buy a car for $400,000, $500,000 without ever seeing it. And now it's $1 million all day long. And the big auction companies are going million, 2 million, 3 million. You know, people are buying cars for $3 million and not seeing the car ever. But they're just kind of getting into, like what you've said, is you want a Gullwing, you pretty much know what you're getting. You want a 275 GTB, and you know, you kind of know what you're getting. I mean, sure, it's fun to see it in person, but do you have to? Is 100 photos enough?
Yeah, especially digital.
Yeah.
All right, so Ken Block has debuted his Pikes Peak car.
Yeah, so but this isn't a new Gymkhana car to just shoot the video. He's competing, and he's going for an overall win in the Unlimited class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a little pink pig.
Mm-hmm. pink pig that won its class at Le Mans about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Or so we went and saw that car at Goodwood.
I think it's the Huna Pigasus.
Yeah.
The Huna Pigasus. Because it's a Hoonigan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pink pig.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Pegasus from the fuel company.
Uh-huh. Is so, it is the Pegasus Shell? Yeah. Is that Shell?
Is it Shell? It's good. It's a good question.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, is this naturally
Mobile
aspirated?
One. I'm sorry. It's Mobile One. Yeah.
The Pegasus is Mobile One?
Yeah.
Really? I'm confused by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Mobile.
Oh, Mobile. Oh, the Mobile One got me onto the oil. The Pegasus is Mobile Gas. Mobile yeah. One is the synthetic oil. So this car is probably turbocharged because of the atmosphere?
Yes. So it's a twin turbo 4 liter, of course, flat six. It's making about 1400 horsepower, and the car should come in at just over 2200 pounds.
Wow. So that thing's going to haul ass. Is there the unlimited class? It seems like there's going to be some electric cars in there these days.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
I don't know.
Unless electric is a different class.
I'm,
you know, like an unlimited electric. Right?
Probably yeah. different class.
Right, because we saw, I mean, even years ago, we saw them hauling ass at Goodwood at the hill climb.
Yeah, so Pikes Peak is now paved, right?
Yeah,
yes. I think the whole thing is paved now. So I think for a while it was all dirt, and then for a while it was partly paved and partly dirt, and I think it's all paved now. Unclear why they had to pave it. I kind of like the dirt aspect of it, but
yeah.
It's now paved.
And this car is all-wheel drive.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And obviously it's going to have some big sticky
a massive rubber, adjustable suspension, all sorts of GPS data, aerodynamic aids. Like, it's just, you know, they're going all out. I believe BBI Autosport built it, and they have quite a bit of experience.
When is Pikes Peak?
Yeah, that's, I'm trying to find out the date of that. June 26th, and it'll be the 100th running of the race.
My God.
Yeah, June, it's coming up quick, June 26th.
It'd be a fun bucket list thing to get out to.
Yeah.
Is that in Colorado? Where is Pikes Peak?
Yeah, Colorado.
Yeah.
Colorado. It's funny because we just, I was just talking to Simon Pagenaud around the Long Beach Grand Prix time, and I was like, you know, I know you drive a lot of things, and, you know, what catches your eye? Like, what would you do that you haven't really done yet? And he's like, I want to run Pikes Peak, and I want to ride rally cars. I want to drive.
Oh, really?
I want to race rally cars.
Wow.
And I was like, both of those sound fun as hell. Like, they're just crazy nuts fun. And he's down for both of those. So I could see him doing something like that at one point.
All right. In more personal news, I am going to do the Velocity event. It's coming up at Laguna Seca in October. I got to figure that one out.
Yeah, October.
I've not signed up. The deadline passed. I told them I needed to figure it out. I don't know how to do it. They send me links. I pop them on. I can't make heads or tails of them. I need some intervention here.
Yeah.
So I got to sign up for that. We got to sign up. I haven't signed up for Monterey yet.
Yeah.
Sure, that
probably should.
Window is closed. But seeing as how they're doing the whole Le Mans theme, hopefully they can sneak me in there. But I got to do that too. So I have no idea where to start. So I have to try to figure that one out.
Now that you mention it, you might want to start thinking about next year, because the Rennsport reunion we heard was going to be next year, and now we know from Porsche officially September 28th through October 1st of 2023.
Oh, okay.
At Laguna Seca.
Okay.
Rennsport reunion.
Thank God, because Chris wrote on my paper here, Rennsport reunion confirmed for Laguna Seca end of September.
Yeah, but it is going to be next year.
Put that date in there, man.
It's 2023. I know it seems a little crazy to like get excited about something that's going to be a year and a half from now.
No, I understand because he has velocity in October.
Velocity in October as well.
And August is Monterey, and I was like, am I going to be able to get away three times?
But it's but now kind of back to sort of the storyline of what you've got going on in the garage. Either building the Apple car or rebodying the 935 for a while as the Apple car would make sense for Monterey this year, but especially now for Rennsport because we already brought the Hawaiian Tropic version of the car.
Yeah.
And it won an award. It did very well there.
Yeah.
In the car show portion of it. And to bring the real Apple car in Apple livery could be pretty exciting. A great way to...
Yeah. I wasn't talking about it on the show. I don't think so. But I talked to Bob Gerritsen, the guy.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that the other night. Yeah.
And owned the car and kind of walked me through the story. Bob Gerritsen, I did a little dive on him. He's got to be 89 years old now. He wants to drive it in the parade lap. Fine. But he kind of walked me through some of the history of that car and what he did with it and, how Apple got involved and Steve Jobs, Wozniak sort of story. And it was all pretty, pretty interesting stuff.
But tell us about that, because you told me that Jobs wasn't super into it, but Wozniak was more into it.
Wozniak had a 928.
Okay.
Which was probably an automatic. Just going to say they had that weird T handle.
Yeah.
Weird short T handles, automatic thing.
Yeah.
Wozniak. So, according to Bob Gerritsen, their shop is 7 miles away from Cupertino and Apple. Apple, he serviced Steve Jobs' 956, said Steve Jobs didn't really drive it much, but I don't know who does drive a 950. Patrick
and
Dempsey.
The year that you're talking about.
1980, late 79, probably. Actually, I didn't ask him, but I'm just assuming it had to be sort of late 79. So it's like Jobs he services 956, Wozniak had the 928, so he'd mess around with the 928. But it was more their director of branding or marketing or, somebody was in charge of marketing.
Yeah.
Who kind of came, I guess he gave Jobs a ride there or something to drop him off to get his car or something. Remember those days when people have to drop you off to go pick up your car?
It was like, I got to pick up my car. Give me a ride.
It's a big deal.
We'll go during lunch break.
Right. So,
he grabs like his head of marketing. Jobs grabs his head of marketing and says, hey, we're a couple miles away during lunch or whatever. Give me a ride.
Or who knows? Yeah. Who knows what this guy was planning? But this guy walks in and starts talking to Gerritsen and sees the 935 and says, Gerritsen's like, why don't you sponsor it, for next year? And Jobs doesn't seem that interested. Maybe Wozniak not that interested, but the marketing guy's interested. And so he kind of pushes it through and it gets painted at the paint shop where they paint all their cars, just the body shop that Gerritsen would bring it to. But the marketing guy sketches out, here's what I want it to look like. Here's the scheme. Here's the palette. Here's how it's going to be designed. And when you see pictures of the car, you go, oh, yeah, that doesn't look like the guy at the paint shop just sort of put stripes
on it.
Somebody
at Apple designed the livery of that car.
Yeah, and I think he was saying, although, Chris, you can look into this, he was saying that they wanted to display it in sort of the rotunda of the new facility they were building in Cupertino. Now, I don't know if they just finished it in 79 or 80 or if it was the old facility, but they wanted to paint it up and then display it there.
Yeah, okay.
And so I think they did that, and then they went out and raced it for a year. And they had some success at certain tracks, just not at Le Mans. Le Mans, they broke a little less than halfway, I think, into the race. And then the next year, Apple pulled out, and the Cook Brothers Racing, I guess, kind of came in. And then it got painted blue and went into the Red Roof Inn sponsorship and Cook Brothers. And then that's when Ray Hall and Gerritsen and Redman drove it to the Daytona win.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And then he just kept going, and then it came back, and then we painted it again, and then we shipped it to Europe, and then BP did it, and then I think it was Brands Hatch. Remember, I was trying to think of that. It won the Endurance Car World Championship, and he did it at Brands Hatch, where they flew it out there. And then he was telling me about how then they sold it again, and it got switched to a 934 body with a single turbo, and then it went on to win Sebring as a 934. And this is kind of interesting conversation.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Peppered in between the car talk was a lot of, I had a business partner at the time. We were going to take the car and campaign it in 81. He screwed me.
A lot of people get screwed back then.
Yeah. It was tough because we didn't have a digital footprint of anybody.
Yeah.
I can check my email.
I remember what you said.
A lot of handshake deals. And, you know, and so it was a lot of guys screwing him and money falling out and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's interesting because now you kind of think that, you know, maybe Gerritsen pitched the Apple guy on racing and, you know, maybe Jobs or somebody didn't love the idea. So he said, but we are opening a new campus. It'd be cool. You know, why don't you take it and we'll paint it up and I'll design it and we'll put it there and display it. And maybe that's what led to the sponsorship. Maybe there was some buzz on the campus going, that's cool, that looks good, I like the way that, or maybe some media ran with it or something. I wonder if, you know, the displaying of the car happened before an agreement on the sponsorship.
I don't know. Chris can look into the campus part of it.
I'm not seeing much about the campus thing. First off, Gerritsen's 89. So Steve Jobs loved German design to the point where he would park a BMW motorcycle in the lobby of the Macintosh offices for aesthetic aspiration.
Oh, so yeah, maybe that's the lobby of the Macintosh offices.
And yeah. I mean, for wherever I heard it, I don't know, but Jobs has always been kind of a Porsche guy.
Yeah, so he even tried Porsche design to make over Apple's computers back then in the 80s. And then he ran into Bob Gerritsen because he was getting his 356 worked on at Gerritsen's shop, which is a few miles from Cupertino. And he brought Steve Wozniak with him. They all hit it off, and that's how Apple became a sponsor for Gerritsen's race team. And then became a huge hit at all the races. And then once it was at Le Mans, became more internationally known, which and then helped it become the most profitable IPO since Ford when it went public. So.
Yeah. That story took a turn and went from, we sponsored a race car to the largest IPO. They're like, wait, we mostly credit the race car. Forget the computers.
It's all the race car.
Yeah, it's the race car.
Yeah.
So anyway, Gerritsen's alive and kicking and
now he wants
dude.
To drive your car.
Yeah, well, I think they said they're doing a parade lap. So should we, you know, can he go along on the parade lap? And I was sort of like, I don't want to put a deal with a passenger seat, bolting it in and unbolting it, or harness or whatever. I don't know what the rules are with the parade lamp. Probably not much. I don't think you need a fire. You don't need a helmet or anything. But we've seen enough parade laps at that track where people are just going around in their dad's Corvette, you know, with the top down.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, why don't you drive it?
Yeah. What'd he say?
Good. I will.
Yeah, he's like, that's what I was really wanted.
Yeah. So, and it'll be good. I mean, if he comes out, pass
a physical first,
pick his brain a little bit. Yeah. You know, he drove that car a lot, in a lot of different places, and was really successful.
Spark some memories.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, as soon as he gets out of that car, you gotta have Nate stand there with a camera and get a little, how was that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like you got to get him right out of that car. Yeah. And get him in the car, you know, just Nate's going to slap some GoPros on that thing to get Gerritsen in there. You'll never get that again.
No, he drove that car in many events all over the world, literally all over the world. And, you know, he drove it with Ray Hall and he drove it with, Redman and many other guys. I think, Chris, you could find, I saw some footage once, probably 10 years old or so. It was, I think it was Bob Gerritsen. I think it's Bob Gerritsen driving a 935 at Laguna Seca for the Monterey Historics. And
this sounds familiar.
Yeah, and it could be 10 years ago, but it could be 25 years ago. I don't know. But it'd just be Bob Gerritsen, Monterey Historics,
you
driving
know
a 935. Now, there's footage of it. And the thing that's interesting about the footage is he's driving the shit out of the car, number one. But number two, his hand is on that boost knob, and he's working that boost knob like a speed bag, like the whole race.
Well, we think he is, because I don't know if that knob works.
Well, not on my car, doesn't.
So maybe he was just futzing with it, trying to figure out why the car is slow.
I think it was Bob Gerritsen who was doing
Although,
this.
Although, I want to say, prior to you buying it, somebody else drove it in Goodwood in Europe, because I believe when you got the car, it came from there. And was it Redmond or like...
Redmond drove it.
Yeah.
Up the hill. All right, Chris can look at that or look for that. No?
I'm not seeing anything pop up right now.
What are you typing in? Oh, you're muted. Sorry. No.
Oh, Gerritsen 935 Historics. Porsche 935 Historics. Just looking at every video that I'm seeing. Like,
So do Bob Gerritsen 935 video, and let's just see what pops up. Maybe it's the Historics that's screwing us up. Let me tell you about JB Weld, world's strongest bond brand that DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. We use their epoxies, their super glues, their putty sticks, projects big and small, practically any surface, metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics. It's all mended by JB Weld. And you keep it in your kitchen drawer, your toolbox, keep it with your craft supplies, keep it in the garage. It's what I do. I keep it everywhere. I use it all the time. When something breaks, fix it, man. Don't throw it in the landfill. Don't be an ugly American.
I literally just used it. I just got a little bit of leather coming off of a steering wheel. Mm-hmm. Just a little drop, tapped it down, didn't have to touch it again. Like, it was just one of those little tiny things that annoys
super glues.
You. Yeah, they're super Weld.
All right, and also the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And proudly made in the U.S. of A. Anything pop up, Chris?
It's still loading, but I have a 1981 Daytona 24 Hours with a 935 K3.
Well, that would be him driving that car to victory for sure. But there wouldn't be.
It wouldn't. That's not the vintage race.
No,
that's the
it wouldn't
race.
Be the in car footage. They wouldn't have any in car back then. And all the in car stuff is so nice now.
Yeah.
You know, F1, whatever, Indy. I mean,
yeah. Because it's funny because we keep, you know, when you do all the, when you're doing the documentaries and we're pulling footage of the old movies, and you're like, how did they do these movies back in the day? And then you cut to some other footage of them filming the race car, and it's some cameraman duct taped to the hood of a car with a camera facing the driver, and he's like glued to the hood with like a leather cap for a helmet. And you're like, that's how they did in car footage back then. If
I
you
think
wanted
in the,
pictures of yourself, you duct tape a cameraman to the hood.
I think famously, when they filmed Le Mans and they're trying to film the 917s, they took a Ford GT40 and cut the roof off it and made that into the camera rig. You know, they needed something fast,
yeah,
but also something that was you could cut the roof off of in 69 because you were done with the Ford GT.
Yeah.
And that Ford GT was a 66 or something. No more Le Mans for that car.
I mean, I guess you could just take the passenger door off, and there's kind of a hole in the roof. And
yeah.
Then, you know,
yeah,
just
you're
take
right.
the door off, and but, you got
yeah,
room.
But
and
I think, and there's probably pictures of it, they cut the roof off that car. All right, Chris, if you can't find it, you can't find it. I'm wondering where I saw it. There was probably some doc, you know, some footage or whatever. I do definitely. Well, did Gerritsen run? Is there any Gerritsen running Monterey Historics? I guess. See if you can find any of that. What else going on?
Well, I wanted to touch on the Nissan Z. I haven't driven it yet, but they just did kind of a press event, driving event. And, you know, the reviews are in. It's just a fun sports car that we expected. It's going to come in around 3,600 pounds. It's going to have a manual or an automatic rear-wheel drive, the 3-liter twin-turbo V6, 400 horsepower, 350 pound-feet of torque. The manual is a 6-speed. The automatic's a 9-speed. And it starts at about $40,000 and kind of works its way up to you know, 50-something thousand.
I wonder if a manual's cheaper or more expensive now.
In this car, they made it exactly the same.
Oh, interesting.
So you buy like the base model or the sport model, same price.
They're going to do a Nismo version of it?
So they have these three versions that are out, but one of them is kind of a trim and paint package, and it's limited to, I think, 240 examples. But it stands to reason there's going to be a Nismo at some point, some sort mm-hmm. of hotter version of this. And but they didn't announce it yet. They're just getting this thing out there. It comes in a little less expensive than the Toyota Supra, obviously a little bit more than the Toyota, you know, the 86. And it kind of fits this nice
Toyota 86?
And the BRZ, you know.
Yeah. Well, that...
Because it's not a...
Yeah, that thing's pretty gutless.
Right. But the new version's a little faster. They just came out with a new version.
Put a supercharger on that thing, maybe? Supercharger, maybe, on the new one, the BRZ.
Yeah, I don't think it has a...
You think it's naturally aspirated?
Yeah, but I just think it's a little bit more displacement, picked up some horsepower.
Huh.
I'll have to check that out.
Check on that.
Because I haven't been reading much.
They weren't getting much out of that the way it was.
Yeah.
I can't believe they got anywhere near 300.
No. It might have went from like 2 to 250.
It still seems tough. Naturally aspirated, but you can check that.
Yeah, we'll look that up in a second. But you know, this car, you and I have seen the car, the Proto, mm-hmm. a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It's still based off of the 370Z architecture, but a lot of refinement. The interior, the suspension, you know, it rides great, handles great. And they're really kind of pushing the limit of that base architecture as much as they can, to the point where it does feel, apparently the consensus, you know, we still haven't driven it, is it's very much feels like an entirely new car as you can possibly get on that existing platform. And I think it looks good.
Yeah, I do, you too. Know? It's a lot of car for that price.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and it's kind of back to the... You know, no better time to be poor-ish. I've said million times. You know, if you're a school teacher or a dental hygienist or a garbage man, that car's in your range. It's not cheap for you,
yeah.
But you could buy one, and you could be driving a car that would whoop up on any Ferrari from the 90s, just about. It's about almost any Porsche from the 80s, early 90s,
yeah.
Or Corvette or whatever. You know, you could be driving a car that was all the car you needed, fun for track days, blah, 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 a reasonable price.
In the low 40s, and, you know, it's 0 to 60 in the, you know, low to mid 4-second range, and just a great car to throw around and comfortable enough
and
to
drive. Probably pretty unbreakable and super reliable. You know, people forget... When you decided to buy a sports car back in the day, you know, it could have been an Austin Healey, it could have been a Triumph TR8, could have been a Ferrari, could have been a Porsche. Not so much with Porsche, but a lot of cars. You had to deal a Jaguar. You had to deal with finicky.
Yeah.
I mean, there was don't count on that thing starting every day.
Right.
It was a big
Ferrari,
trade-off.
Jaguar, Lotus.
Yeah, you could buy yourself a Toyota Corolla shitbox, and that would run just fine. But you want something exotic,
mm-hmm.
that's a thing. It was a lot of like, where's the Testarossa? It's in Enrico's. It's been there for 7 weeks. Yeah. They're waiting for a gasket. You know, like, don't plan on driving that car every day.
Right.
Now, drive it every day.
Drive it every day. And it's a great sports car. It's a great, like, traditional throwback sports car. Lightweight, manual transmission, you know, rear wheel drive. It's fun.
Good architecture.
The Toyota GR86, by the way, 228 horsepower now. And it is still...
I knew they didn't get to 250 without bolting something on.
It's the 2.4 liter.
So they bumped it up. Yeah. They still haven't made it to 230. I drove that car. Not that car, but I drove the race version or whatever. It's just kind of gutless. I mean, You drop it into second gear and you just plant your right foot and you just read a book. But like it took a long time to get
right
up there.
But it's
it handled. You could throw it around.
You're right.
And if you want to strap on a supercharger and get 300 horsepower out of it, now that's a fun little kind of Miata beater at that point.
Lightweight, good balance, good momentum car.
Fun
just
to
hammer
drive
it down and just go full speed
into
the turns.
needed the horsepower.
Yeah.
All right,
but
Chris, any luck?
No.
Did Gerritsen drive? He must have driven
I'm not even seeing him, like anything about him driving.
Maybe it was Redmond then, because Redmond did drive the car in Europe. And maybe that's the story I'm thinking of, is Redmond doing the hill.
Well, I'm sorry, Matt and Chris, but I'm not talking about Gerritsen driving my car, which I don't think you're looking for.
No,
I'm just doing 935.
Yeah, right. I'm talking about him being in like the Sachs car or one of his other things.
Did Gerritsen drive any car in a historic race?
I'm not seeing that.
Get the old man on the phone.
I'll get him on the blog.
Get him on the
better
blog.
Than the internet.
Bob
Find
Gerritsen.
Out what
Bob Sharp. All right. Huntington Beach Sea Legs coming up
tonight.
No, tonight. Yeah. Jay Chandrasekhar. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Chandrasekhar.
He's good. He's funny.
He's good.
Super
yeah.
Troopers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
funny guy. Denver, you can come on out. I'll be at the Comedy Works South. That'll be June 24th and 25th. And also on the 23rd, I'll be at the TOS Con. I'll be speaking at the conference. Use Corolla. And get 15% off your purchase there. What do you got, Motorator?
Just give us a follow on social media at Motorator, and we'll keep you up to date.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save money on insurance? Well, of course, who doesn't love a good deal? Well, when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even homeowners, condo, and renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to GEICO becomes a no-brainer. Switch today and see how you can save. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.